Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity again today to be able to meet. And we just pray for your spirit to be here. We know that you have things that you want to share with us through Dr. And I just pray that you will speak through him. Give him your words and help us to have ears to listen, and that we can just be drawn closer to you through this. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Before I go on, let me just provide the biblical perspective on personality, and that would help you as we go about exploring this fascinating reality of personality. What we have in front of us is something called personality. Biblically speaking, personality is something that is God-given and something that you are born with. One of the ways we can prove that even though 10 children came from the mother, same mother's womb, they all have a what? Different personality, right? You know, so you can't say that, well, it all depends on education and so forth, but something that was given to the child, the way that the person, a child, is wired is different by different kids, right? It goes beyond gender, right? And so that's why we believe that it's given by God. So I want to start with that. If it is given by God, you know, it's a good thing, right? Right? God is all good, isn't it? Yeah. And even though we can make it ugly and whatnot, there's something within you innately that are woven by God. And I want us to really get in touch with that. And then it is our job not to create personality. We're not here to create something, right? We are here to what? We are here to discover it. We're here to discover it, and then we're here to cherish it, and we're here to nurture it. We are here to allow your personality to shine and bloom and blossom. Amen? And that's our goal. And so, personality that's given, I call it nature. And then, there is a nurture. Definitely, nurture can be the Word of God, Holy Spirit, the way we brought up, education, environment, friendship, and all that, that stimulates us in such a way that it nurtures us. It nurtures us, and then you end up, okay, nature plus nurture equals with what? Anybody can answer? Start with C. Character. Okay? So character is something that you develop on your personality, okay? Personality is a soil in which, you know, through fertilizing, through nurturing, all that, and then we end up, God ends up developing and creating and maturing something called character, okay? So that's sort of like the way we need to look at it as we look at personality today. That's why I'm telling you to go back to your childhood as much as you can. Okay? And so today's goal is for us to discover our personality and for us to really cherish it and nurture it and allow it to be a point of celebration in our life. Because some of your personality, as you live on, unfortunately, sadly enough, some of our personality may have been like suppressed. Or been hidden. Or maybe there's a shame attached to it, you know, when there's no need to. And so I would like us to really go back and then get into the root of it and the way that God has designed us to be. Amen? Amen. And it's going to be a very exciting journey together. And yes?
Is there a problem that some personality types are perceived as more desirable than others?
No. These four personality types are the ones that can be actually, it's a good question. I was going to deal with it later on, but since the question has given is a, you know, reason, let me deal with it in this way. You may be blue, mm-hmm. but it depends on what kind of blue you are. So we can be healthy blue, we can be unhealthy blue, or we can be sickly blue. You know what I'm saying? Or you can be very destructive blue. But it has nothing to do with your blueness. You know, the way that God has made you to be has potential to be healthy and to be blossoming. But then the way we utilize it and use it, the way we've been conditioned by it, or way we choose our lives to be, we can end up downgrading to a point that we can make it unhealthy, sickly, and destructive, and so forth. Okay? And the healing comes in an area where we made it unhealthy, we made it sickly. Christ comes, His grace comes, Word of God comes, the Holy Spirit comes in such a way that God can transform it. But God is not going to change your personality. But God is going to what? God is going to use it in such a way that it becomes a point of just really flourishing for God.
It's like how, I think this just sort of clicked with me.
Yes.
It's like how He regenerates our character.
Exactly.
Regenerate
it or activate it, if I want to show it. Activate it. You see? I want you to know today, I'm very excited about what I'm about to share today, because it can be a point of life transformation for you, because all of us have potential to be so amazing. Not that you are not. We have a potential to be so powerful in our lives. You know what I'm saying? God has made us to be that way. But then the way we brought up, we've been conditioned in such a way, one way or the other, you're not amounting enough, you're not good enough, and you know, all that stuff going on. And today, I want us to set all of that aside. Amen? All of it aside. And then just get in touch with the way that God has designed you to be. Okay? This is created by Dr. Taylor. And I like this personality test, particularly because... Let's look at the second page. If you look at the second page, I really love this personality. Number one, because it's simple. Some other Briggs-Myers and all the other personality tests, you have to take all day, a couple of hours to take it. It's complicating, and you know. And I've been through all of that, but I found this one about 10-some years ago, and I found this to be very easy to take, and yet it is not simplistic. It is complicated enough to deal with the multifaceted nature of personality. Let's take a look at it here. I want you to look at the left column where this personality test will help you to understand your motivational level, in that different personality gets motivated differently. Isn't that interesting? Okay?
I think I told you I'm very different than what I was as a child,
mm-hmm.
because of life experiences that change you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain why you wanted us to go back to when we were 5 and 6 year olds?
It's within you. You may think that you have changed, but it's within you.
I used to be very shy. Now I'm very outgoing.
Well, I mean, you know, you may have adopted the shyness has nothing to do with this. Okay? Yeah. And so shyness is something that you end up believing in. Shyness is something that you interpret about yourself, but it has nothing to do with your personality, because none of the personality tells you that one is shyer than the other. Okay? Yeah. So we're looking at a more fundamental way. And so, motivational level. And then different personality has different needs, and different personality has different wants and different strengths and different limitations as well. And then as we study this personality, we come to realize that none of our personalities are so complete that we don't need anybody else in our lives. You know what I mean? We are strong on certain things. Okay? And therefore, as we go on discussing about personality, one thing we must do is to allow us to focus on our strength. Okay? How many of you want to spend the rest of your life trying to improve your negative while we are not maximizing our strength? You know what I'm saying? That's why it is very deadly for us to be negative about ourselves, about other people. Okay? And we have to be in touch with the strength, the way that God has made us to be, and allow that to be maximized while we allow our demerits and our shortcomings to be overcome by what? By not only overcome by your work, by you working on it, on the, all that, but you overcome by bringing teamwork with others who have the strength when you don't have that in your life and so forth. So let's do that. Okay, before we go on, how many of you are predominantly red? Okay, how many of you are predominantly red? Red. Only one person?
I did it twice, and I turned out totally different now as when I was young.
Okay, that's fine. That's the way you see it, but you will see that there is a correlation, there is a connection. So, okay, how many of you are predominantly red? One person or two people? Okay, three people. Okay, three people. Yeah. Red, we need some red in our group. Otherwise, this roof will come down. Okay. And then, how many of you are blue, predominantly blue? I've seen so many blue. Well, Michigan has a lot of blues, okay? Mm-hmm, blue sky, okay? And we have enough blues. How many white we have? Okay, white. A lot of men are white. Some ladies are white, predominantly white. Okay, great. How many yellow do we have? Okay, three. Okay, three can handle about 300 people, so that's fine. Okay. Okay, so I would like to inconvenience you a little bit. And if you're settled in your seat, I'm sorry, but you need to get up and then pull together according to your color codes. Okay, that's the way it's going to work. So all the red come out in the front, and all the blues come to the first and second row, and then white on that side, and then yellow would be on that side. Can you guys come closer here? Thank you. Over here so that I can see you guys better. Okay. We have how many reds? We have three red. Okay, and then we have how many blues do we have? Up to here? Blue? Okay, blue. Are you part of the blue? Okay, you're part of the blue. Here? Okay, all this blue. Okay, and then white? All the white here? Okay, and then all the yellow there? Three yellows? Okay. Yellows are excited to talk to each other. Okay. I want you to take a moment to look around. Okay. So I'm going to introduce all the red. Would you please stand and everybody welcome them. Okay. All the red, stand up and welcome them. You need to get to know these people. It's going to benefit you. Get to know these people. Okay. Be seated. Okay. And then all the blues. Would you please stand? All the blues. Okay, you must get to know these people. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble, okay? Get to know these people. Blue people, give them big hands, okay? Thank you. And all the white people. We have so many white people, okay? Yeah. I'm not talking ethnically white, okay? Okay, all the white people. Okay, give them big hands, okay? Okay. The yellow people, usually I bring them up here, but since we don't have time, would you please stand? Okay, give them hearty, like, you know, really, like, yeah. Okay. I'm going to introduce the different personality in ways that I will lift them up and bring them down a little bit to be balanced. So I hope you won't get kind of, you know, hurt by that, okay? And I'll make some comments, and then I hope you will not be traumatized, okay? That's the last thing I want you to have. Okay, let's start with blue, and we're going to talk about the strength that each of the color has, okay? What motivates different colors to begin with? As you can see on the chart, red people are motivated by what? Motivated by power. The P stands for power. They are powerful people, and they want to be powerful. Okay? They are the CEO or CFO, okay? And they are the boss in the family, and they are the shaker, okay? They are the mover of the society, okay? And they like being in charge. And they have a tendency to boss people around. Yeah, they have a tendency to boss people around because they think they are what? Always right. But then the study shows that they are only 49% right. But then their argument to that is like, you know what? You know, 49%, not, you know, other 51%, it didn't work out right because they didn't listen to us. Okay? And so that made them to be what? Always? Always right. Always right. You know? And red people are very goal-oriented. If they focus on something, you know, they're not gonna deviate until they accomplish, they're set out to accomplish, okay?
Even if it takes a little while.
Yeah, even if it takes a little while, they're gonna do it. They're gonna, even if it means for them to kind of, you know, make their relationship rocky or something, they're focused, they get it going, and then they're in charge. And so this roof, this building would not be here if it were not for what? Some red people, okay? So for which we appreciate that, okay? Yeah, yeah. And so let's give them what they really love to hear, because their version of heaven is a place where everybody listen to what they have to say. And they want to bring that heaven on this earth every day. And they're working really hard. And so let's give them what they want to hear, okay, by saying that, you are always right, everybody, okay? Okay, let's try one more time, everyone. See,
yeah,
you are always right. And guess what they say? I told you so. Okay? And that's red people. They are charged by power, okay?
Mm-hmm. If you were a man, you would have done things differently than if you were a woman?
Well, let me ask you. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because there's a difference between man and woman in that if you're a man, you're born with certain color. If you're a woman, you're born with certain color innate to begin with. If you're a woman, you have blue. If you're a woman, you have blue. So if you're a woman and you're blue, you are what? Really blue. Really blue. Okay, if you're a man, you're red, then you're what? Really, really red, okay? And that poses some challenges, yeah. So, even if you think that, you know, you don't have blue color, it's in you as well. Yeah,
yeah, blue is so
exactly. I want you to know that. So, let's go on. And then let's talk about blue people. We have so many blue here, okay? And this blue people, unlike red people, while red people are motivated by power and accomplishing things, for them, to be productive is very important. For red people, things have to be productive, okay? While red people focusing on the product and efficiency and productivity, blue people focuses on the process. They are more interested in not only how things get done, but they are more interested in how they are related to people. They're more, because they are motivated by what? Motivated by meaning and the desire for intimacy than any other group in this room.
Relationship,
so to speak. Okay? And so, even if red person thinks that everything's going well, house being built, and you have great cars and nice house and everything, okay? And then blue person come around and says, you know what? You know what? We cannot live like this. You know, this kind of way of life is very meaningless. And then their pursuit after meaning drives everyone nuts. And then everybody else don't understand what these blue people are pursuing after. Not because they're crazy, but because their desire for meaning is beyond and above everybody else. Mm-hmm. They have a sense of crisis that no one else feels when it comes to what? Relationship. For them, being related is most important thing, and that's what motivates them. When you feel that you are related, you're close and intimate with somebody else, this group of people can do anything for you. They can even go to the moon and bring down the moon cake. If you know what I'm talking about, okay? So these people are motivated by a desire for closeness and intimacy, and they're living, seeking out for meaning in their lives. And therefore, we need to listen to blue people. If you don't listen to blue people, what's going to happen? It's a sign of end time, okay? You got to listen to blue people, okay? And then you got to listen to them when it comes to being productive and powerful and all that. But I appreciate blue people because their desire for meaning is something that is very spiritual, very holistic, very holistic. Okay? And then I want you to know that Jesus understands you guys. When there's nobody, may not be able to understand you, appreciate you. Okay? And yeah.
So what does the I stand for?
Intimacy. Yeah, intimacy. Okay. So let's continue. I mean, I have so much to talk about, but let's continue about, you know, blue people. In that, you see, they cannot, while red people can pretend, okay, while other group can pretend, these blue people, they cannot pretend. If they have an issue with somebody else, it shows up on their face. And then they lose their appetite for it. Right? And they lose their sleep for it. Right? And it bothers them so much. And it just sucks the energy out of them so much. Right? No, it's not because they're too sensitive. They're wild in that way. Yeah. And so, but if they feel intimate, that's what's going to what? Energize you. So you got to find ways to what? To be supported in that way. That to be intimate, to be close, and, you know, all that stuff that you need. So what they want from other people, if you can kind of hold off your questions later on so that we can deal with it better. So if these people, if they are understood and be appreciated, and that's all they need in terms of reward. You know what I'm saying? So if you have a wife or if you have a husband who is blue, you know how to talk to them now, right? Yeah, you know how to talk to them, okay? So let's give them what they need to hear, okay? We will say, we appreciate you. But when you say it, you really need to mean it because they can catch you. Okay? We can't say it in a casual manner, and they're going to find out. You don't mean it. Okay? So, well, let's say it with our hearts, really meaning it. And let's all say, we really appreciate you. So really is an important part, okay? Okay, everybody ready? Okay. We really appreciate you. So what does that make you feel?
Thank you.
Thank you. Then now they're going to cook for us for the rest of our lives, you know. And they're going to do everything for us, okay? Yeah.
The word appreciate is not on the list here.
Okay, that's fine. Understanding and appreciation. Okay, you can write it there. Okay, let's move on. So I love blue people because my wife is blue. So I'm an expert on blue people. And so we're going to talk about that, okay, as we move on. White people. Very interesting people. White people. White people may...
We like these kind of seminars. That's why you got some...
Okay. You know, white people... I love having white people in our lives, in my life. Because they are peacemaking people. They are from UN. United Nations. And they don't get paid by UN, but they volunteers. And they are peacemaker. They hate conflict. Okay? They are the go-between people. And they are the reconciler. and then they take the burden of all kinds of, you know, stressful situation in life, and without them, this world will fall apart, you know. And you can tell, right? You look at them; they're very peace-loving people, right? Okay. And last thing they want to do is to have a conflict with somebody. It just takes too much away from them. While red people, they're going to fight their ways and so forth. And then blue people, you know, they fight in their own ways and they don't give up easily. But don't get me wrong. If white people and red person end up living together, let's say, then whose will ultimately gets done? Red or white? These white people are so smart that they make you think that you're getting your way all the time, but in the end, they're getting what they want to do. In the end, and so in the end, they're the one who's winning. Yeah, they're winning without fighting. Okay, and so they're not really white. No, just kidding. And I love white people because one of the number one strength, I'm getting into strength on them, one of the number one strength that white people have, I mean, when it comes to red people, they're focused, they're determined, they're directed, they know how to lead, and, you know, they're confident. And blue people, they're into meaning and, you know, being intimate, and they know how to connect, and they see things ahead of time. They're, like, very prophetic, you know. So we got to listen to them. But white people, one of the number one characteristics that we admire about them, which actually makes their life very difficult sometimes. Even for that, Jesus needs to come right away. And they have tremendous ability to be patient. Tremendous ability to be patient. And if they end up coming to me and said, you know what? I can no longer be patient anymore. So what would that tell me? Whoa. Then it's really, really, really a point of crisis, right? If red people come up to me and I can't be patient, then, well, you know, they're always like this, so I'm fine with it. And then if blue people come up to me and say, you know what, life is so meaningless, then how do I take it? You can't say, well, life is meaningless anyway. Read this book, you know. Read Proverbs, you know. No, if they say life is meaningless, that almost means that they have no reason to go on, almost, right? You know what I mean? But if white people comes up to you and say that, you know, I'm losing peace and I can't take it any longer. If white lady comes to me and says, you know, I've been married for 30 years and you know what, Pastor, I'm done. If they say that, then it's not the time for me to open Book of Revelation. Here are the patience of saints. And they're like, you're talking to me about patience? You're out of your mind. We take it serious. And what do you say? What do you talk to them? How do you talk to them? Oh, wow. It must be what? It must be extremely, extremely difficult for you to say that you empathize with them. You know what I mean? Because one thing they have more than anybody else is sense of patience, and they endure. But if you ask them, how is it? Is it difficult? They never say that. They say, everything's fine. It's fine. But deep inside what? Deep inside they're like rotting. Deep inside they're like really, really suffering because they have a tendency to suppress things in order to what? Make it easier for other people. No, we're going to get to that. Okay, we're going to get to that. And so, but white people, one thing that you don't want to do to them since they are already enduring so much, what is one thing that you don't want to do to them?
Overload them
or push them forward even further. You don't want to push them forward because they are already pushing themselves so much. You know what I'm saying? And so it is very important for us to listen, leave them alone.
Yeah, don't forget that.
You okay? However, I'm not done yet. However, it is important not to leave them alone too long. Because if you leave them alone, they're going to be left alone for a long time. And which may not be good for them. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Okay? So what do we say to them? What can you say to them to make them feel really wonderful? Hang in there. Man, they're hanging in there already. No. Huh?
Peace.
We accept you the way you are. That's very important. If you try to change them, they're not going to change. They're not going to change. Because let me tell you something about white people. They can be stubborn. They can be quietly stubborn. Which is good for them, though. It's not bad for you guys. Okay, so I'm going to talk about it. I care for white people. You know, so let's say, we accept you the way you are. Yeah, they're doing tremendous things for us. They endure so much for us. You know what I mean? Yeah, so let's all say that. We accept you the way you are, everybody. We accept you the way you are. Yeah, she said, thank you. Oh, finally, thank you. Woo, I don't have to fight, you know? Okay, yellow people, how many of you are yellow? All of you? Okay, you're taking tests, right? Yeah. Oh, you're red here. Okay, so red. Okay, how many of you are yellow people? Three of you, right? Three of you. And yellows are amazing people. Well, I want to tell you, if you are a man, you're blue. How many blue do we have? Man, if you're a man, you're blue, right? You're the one. You are the most romantic guy in this room. Okay? Okay, you... And I'm glad that you're in Christ because it could have been dangerous. Just kidding. Okay. And then I'm going to joke around to make it interesting, okay? And then yellow people they live their life for fun. And you ask them, why aren't you not making payment? They say, it's not fun. Okay? And so they're really into fun and they are charismatic. They're very charismatic to a point where even if you're enemies to them or, you know, you consider them as enemies, if you have lunch with them, you end up liking them. You know what I'm saying? They're very charismatic and they have undying energy about them.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.